Well, there's a machlokas that the Rambam and Rashi in this din, this regimen of Pasma Malach Tochal. So Rashi says, meaning if necessary, meaning if the only way a person can dedicate himself to Torah is to endure these hardships, then he has to be willing to do so. Let's say that a person has resources available to him, and that he's able to devote himself single-mindedly and wholeheartedly to Torah without needing to endure the pasmin of Tochal or Stishan, so then it's not necessary. This is rather a statement of to what degree, if necessary, a person has to be ready to be Mosa Nefesh. But for the Rambam, it's clear that that's not the pshat. Rambam, it's clear that a person can have endless funds at his disposal, and this is part of Kinyan Torah on that highest level of being Mukta Bekisra Shal Torah. Now, the ending of Halacha Vav seems anomalous. And here's this incredible and incredibly inspiring depiction of someone who's being Mosa Nefesh for Torah, and clearly the associations we have with this is tremendous. Avas Torah, Lishma. And then the Rambam says, you know, Im Hebeso Torah Hebeso Scha, Vascha Lefi Hatzah. Rather anticlimactic ending, no? So the Chorus follows. Aschal lefi hatzar is just the Hebrew translation of the Mishnah of Fun Tzar Agra. So what is that statement of a Fun Tzar Agra? So we figure like this. So on a nice day, a person gets up and he walks the half mile from his house to shul to daven with a minyan.
Okay.
There isn't any time associated with it. If it's 15 degrees and it's the midst of a raging snowstorm, and he trudges through the snowdrifts, assuming that it's not dangerous to do so, and he trudges through the snowdrifts to get to shul, so then, you know, he endures tremendous tsa'ar to get there. So aschal lefi hatzar. But if you take a look at the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos on the Mishnah, the Rambam says, V'omer ben heihei, lefi ma shetitzta'er batorah, Or in other words, the Rambam interprets the Fum Tzara Agra as only referring to Talmud Torah. He doesn't interpret it as a principle by other mitzvahs. The Fum Tzara Agra is said directly and exclusively by Talmud Torah. So what does that mean? That means that the Tekken is no extra schar for that snowstorm trip to Shul. So l'chaim, what it means is like this. Every mitzvah has its own schem. So imagine in the celestial bank, so there are different vaults. So there's a vault which has schar for achilas matzah. So when a person eats matzah, the same as HaKadosh Baruch Hu deposits into his account in Olam Haba, schar b'hayal malaka, the deposits into the individual's account in Olam Haba, the schar for achilas matzah. When he shakes a lulav, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes from the schar of the lakata machan bayom rishon vault, and when a person puts on tefillin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes from the vault of ukshata maos al yadecha. What about when a person endures tsa'ar to do a mitzvah? So what vault does that come from? That's a separate vault? Well, no, you get extra from the Bo'erev Tov L'Matzos vault. You get extra from the L'kachta M'chem B'ayim Arishon, L'kshata M'os Al Yadecha vault. So the Pasha says that what the Rambam means is as follows. Avada, there's an inyan of a fum tsa'ar agra by every mitzvah. And avada, there's greater schar when the person is most nefesh with tefillah b'tzibur, as in that scenario, then where he just can coast to shul. But the schar isn't schar tefillah. The schar is schar tsa'ar as hechsher mitzvah, tsa'ar to do a mitzvah. It's not schar tefillah. When he's walking through the snow, he's not... if you get stuck in a drift, the Rabbi is davening. But assuming he doesn't get stuck in a drift, you know, he's not davening. He's not getting schar tefillah. When Ben Hehe says the fun tzar, he's talking about something else. He's talking about the tzar of that is integral, and that's his point. The tzar is integral to Talmud Torah. Whether it's the tzar that a person pushes himself to the limits. Again, whether it means physically or intellectually, it means both. So that tzar is not something incidental. By tefillah b'tzibur, the tzar is incidental. There's nothing inherent in tefillah b'tzibur that involves tzar. There's nothing inherent to netilas lulav that involves tzar. But tzar is an integral part of Talmud Torah on its highest level. Again, whether it's the physical tzar, whether it's the physical tsa'ar of pushing oneself to maximize the amount of time devoted to Torah, or whether it's the intellectual exertion of trying to make the breakthrough to understand, again, on whatever level is appropriate to the person. But everyone has that tsa'ar. The Chaim has that tsa'ar also. He doesn't have the tsar of figuring out the types of the words the way we do. He doesn't have the tsar of figuring out what in the world is that Gemara that Tosfos is quoting. But he has the tsar to understand it the way Reb Chaim ultimately understood it. He had tsar also. The Vilna Gaon also had tsar in their learning. Everyone has tsar in their learning because to learn on the highest and the deepest level at which a person is capable means that he has to make a breakthrough. And that means being stymied at first. It means being frustrated at first. It means the first attempt, Lav Dafke, is going to be the successful one. Then maybe the fifth one isn't the successful one. So the tsa'ar is integral to the mitzvah. And that's what Ben Hehe says, from tsa'ar agra, meaning it's tsa'ar Talmud Torah. When we break our teeth to make a laning, That's Schar Talmud Torah. That comes from the vault, from the vault in Shamayim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu stores Schar Talmud Torah. So it's clear then that what Ben Hehe is saying is not just, you know, giving us insight and motivating us by the awareness of, you know, the Schar that awaits us, but it's clear that that tzchar is being used as a way of, as a gilui milsa about what the mitzvah and the amola of Talmud Torah entails. And Yitachen, that's the pshat, that's the pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam's not, the person to whom the Rambam is talking, Shenasal Libra, the Rambam's not looking to motivate the person with schar. The same way that the Rambam is saying, again, haschar lefi hatzar, that a person shouldn't mistakenly think that the tzar is an indication, this isn't for me. If a person is trying to learn on a level that he's not ready for, so then in a chanami, he shouldn't be doing that. And that's going to be a futile effort and a futile endeavor. But if the person is learning on the level that he's capable of, and afal pichein, he has tzar, so that's par for the course. It's not an indication that this isn't for me.
Inherited
Talmud Torah is Tsar.
So does
that
work
with the Eglah Talmud? Talmud seems to be saying that really the Ikar Mitzvah is all about being a Sameach. That's all how you get Torah. Did you, John?
For Jag?
I
don't
know.
I don't get it. What
do you do
for
Ikar?
Assumption
that question. There it is. You need fictional answers. Lift weights. Okay, so you lift weights. So anyone who exercises enjoys pushing himself to his limits and beyond his limits, and simultaneously is straining, when he's trying to get the weight up. You see his veins are bulging and he's straining and he's loving every second of it. As you know from. Okay. I think it's in the biography of Rebbe Sienkiewicz, so it says that she was very attached to her family, but when she got married, so she assessed and then made a decision that what was best for her husband's continued success and in learning was, you know, that they would live in Bnei Brak, and that he shouldn't be disrupted by having to travel or anything. So they never made the trip, even from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim for Shabbos. So that meant that she didn't get to see her family. And it describes in the book, you know, that she was a very emotional person and felt things deeply, that she used to cry. She used to cry, but it was something that she was happily, willingly initiating, not just agreeing to, happily, willingly initiating, and simultaneously she was crying. There's no stira between, so the same way there's no stira there, there's no stira between the chayit tzar and
the simcha. Tzar and simcha at the same time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is the simcha more subliminal, you know, when you're stuck in Pshat and Rambam, and is it more begolui when you get Pshat and Rambam, of course. But if you go and you ask the person, you know, while he's stuck on Pshat and Rambam, is there anything else in the world you'd rather be doing? Is there anything else in the world that would make you happier? And I see you're very depressed right now. The answer is no. There's nothing in the world that would make me happier than continuing to, you know, exert and push and try to understand Pshat. Is the simple experience differently? Definitely, definitely. But subliminally, it's there. They say, I don't know if this is true, I didn't hear this through authoritative channels, so I can't vouch for it, but maybe it's true, that Chaim's mental exertion was such that he would begin, even outwardly, he'd begin burning the you know, you exercise, so you sweat. So his head would begin burning after they cut, but then he'd go over to the stone pillar in the basement and delusion and have to cool his. I don't know if it's true, but it's a good story. The assault of the story is true. Well, the actual story is true. I don't know. It could be actual story is true also. I don't know, but the Yisod is 1,000% true.
Yeah, I'm wondering if from Tzara Agra only applies to Torah, or like maybe something like Tefillah, like if you only reach like the highest level of Tefillah, if you really really exert yourself to the highest degree, because like why, like how else could you get to the highest degree if you exert yourself to the highest degree?
No, I hear the question. I think it's a good question. I'm not sure what the answer is. The question is a good question, but the problem that you run into is that certainly every mitzvah, whatever you hold to the Eved in terms of mitzvah tzuchas kavanah, in tzuchas kavanah, so obviously the chatzil way to do a mitzvah kavanah. And kavanah also, this kavanah is the zelam shalom shira, the purity and you know, intensity of a person's kavanah is also held on shalom shir. So then, I don't know. You know, again, problem number one is again the Rambam Perush Mishnayos is again he's ma'arich a little bit, and every ma'arich mokum is about Torah. There's no indication that it applies to anything else. And B, even if you would say no, okay, who adin who atam for tefila, I'm not sure why. Again, what requires that exertion is the kavanah, and kavanah is a part of any mitzvah on its optimal level. So I'm not sure where that goes. But that's not really, you know, that's more pushing your question to the side than it was answering it. Shema Toma, Atshe Kabbiz Momon, ואחזור אקון. עד שאקנה מה שאני צורך ואפונה, ואפנה ואפונה מעסקאי ואחזור אקון. אם תל המחשב זו לבך, אין אתה זוכה לכיסו של תורה לעולם. אלא עשה תורסך כעבור מלאכתך הרעי, ואל תאמר לך שאפונה אשנה, שמה לא תיפונה. Discussing the question not in the context that the Rambam is quoting the din of Al Tomer Shepon Eshne, but in a different context. So what does that mean? Let's say, I don't know. Let's say if a person will go into a certain field, that if he'll do an extra 2 or 3 years of training, so then he'll face, instead of, I'm assuming this is true, that instead of being a dentist, he'll be a dental surgeon. And as a dental surgeon, so he won't have to work as many hours to support his family, and he'll have more time to learn. So is that precluded by this Mishnah because he can, you know, is it v'ch'she epana eshna? You know, when I'll finish that extra training, is that precluded? So I think this is said explicitly, but if not, you're talking that it's in any way correct. That Altam Lashapana Eshna is it's clear that it's something which is open-ended. Shema lo tipana. So for instance, let's say a person will have as follows. I'm going to invest in the stock market, and I'll devote crazy hours to it. I'll work 14-hour days, and, monitor the market in Japan, the market in Europe, the market here, the market there, and I'll make a killing on the market, and I'll retire at age 30. And I'll retire at age 30 with a big enough what's the phrase? With enough money to, and I'll retire at age 30. So that l'chare is al tom l'chshepana esh, n'ashem al tipana. Maybe it's not going to work. Maybe at 30 you won't have struck rich yet, you know. Another year. And then, you know, at age 85, you know, he's probably going to do it next year. Next year I'm holding by retiring, Hashem, as soon as I hit it big on the market this year. So that's what the mission says. You know, al tom l'chshepana esh, n'ashem al, but where it's something which is clearly defined and delimited. So the Pashto says that's not against this Mishnah. That is, there are lots of factors in life. Life doesn't usually reduce to a single factor. Sometimes it does. But in terms of this Mishnah, the Pashto says that this Mishnah means when something is akavitz mama means I'm going to do it through investment. I'm going to do it in a way that's speculative. So then, no, there's a pshasha multipana. So that's not oiskal. Again, just that's mitzad this factor. There are other factors. A person has to, you know, halacha l'maaseh, if a person is making such a cheshbon, this doesn't work so much, but I don't think it's as relevant to that example. If you take a different example, so a person will take a very, very high-paying job, but, you know, he works like an indentured servant. You know, when they tell you in the interview that they order in supper for you from whatever restaurant you want, and they'll pay for your Uber if you go home after 11:30 at night, you should see a yellow flag on the side. Well, there's a Vasikan minion in the in the lobby for those who put in all-nighters, Monday through Friday. So something's up. So let's say a person says, I'll take such a job for 4 years, and the amount of money the math works. You know, the salary is so obscene, and the math works. So it's true that mitzad shemalotipana, the way we've discussed it until now, it's true that l'chora, since it's delimited, but in Tazveni Yom, your Maima Azveka, the question is whether after 4 years he's going to be the same person. And with all that money in the bank, is he going to come back? Or no, he's going to be a different person. So halacha l'maisa, you have to chezer in the Shemalotipana, not only in terms of, will the money necessarily have accumulated, but will I be in a position to take advantage of that for the increased learning of, who knows what 4 years, submerged in that kind of culture and that kind of environment does for a person. So there are lots of cheshbonos, but mitzad, again, shemalotipana, narrowly in this mishnah, means when it's potentially open-ended. Ram says, Ella, say to us, Kevin Mlachtucha Arai. In Perek Aleph, when the Rambam is talking about the Talmud Torah as we engage in it on its basic level, so the Rambam writes,
Then
it goes on to say how those 9 hours should be allocated. So there's a difference, there are two distinctions, but they're not synonymous, they're not identical distinctions. There's a distinction between keva and arai, and ikar and tofel. In Perek Aleph, the Rambam is talking about ikar and tofel. Now, what's tofel also has a kriyas. V'haraya, the Rambam says, that the person, his shoe repair shop is open 3 hours a day. It's Yadua, that he's open every day from 9 to 12 in the morning, 3 to 6 in the afternoon. So there is a kriyas to it. Now clearly, it's not his ikki kriyas, it's a tofel ikki kriyas, but there is a kriyas. Well, you see on the store, it doesn't say as soon as I made what I think is enough money for today, I'm going to close, and therefore I can't guarantee whenever I'll be open. No, I'm open every day. I'm open daily from 9 to 12. So that's what the Rambam is talking about. Again, Talmud Torah on the level that we aspire to in Perek Aleph is that Enochanami, we have kriyasin for things other than Talmud Torah, but certainly axiologically, and if one is blessed, that it translates also quantitatively, but certainly axiologically. So Torah is the ikur, and other things are tofel. Even if it doesn't translate in terms of time, but in terms of chashivas, axiologically, Torah always has to be ikur. What this ben aliyah, this exalted individual of Perek Gimel of Mishnah Nesor Libo. So he doesn't even have a tofel deke kriyas. It's totally arai. Arai means, again, that stands in contrast to Kviyas, it's like the Gemara says about Hillel. You know, he earned every day. Obviously, the economy has to lend itself to this kind of Mesiris Nefesh also. Every day, he would learn, he would earn as much as he needed for that day, as much as he needed to buy, to go to the Makolet, and, you know, buy the Lachmaniot, and the olives for supper, and then, you know, and then you're all set. We'll skip a halacha ches. Maybe we'll come back to that. No. Halacha ches. Divrei Torah nimshalu b'mayim. Shneim ahoy kol tzomei luchu l'mayim. Lom lecha ma ha'mayim ein miskapsin b'mokom madron, ela nizcholen me'olav miskapsin b'mokom ashvoren, kach divrei Torah einan nimtzoin b'gasei haruach, v'lo b'leiv kol Gevar leiv, ela bedaka ushal ruach. Shemis abek ba'afar raglei hachachonim umeser hataivos v'tanuge hazman milivo. So it's meduyik in Loshon Harambam. Again, to be misabek ba'afar raglei chachamim is the phrase from Ovos, or based on the phrase in Ovos. But the Rambam explains that that's an expression of, and is only possible if there is shiflus haruach, right? The Rambam doesn't say ala bedako ushval ruach, umis abek ba'afa ragle hachachamim umese, right? He doesn't connect this phrase with a vav the way he connects the other phrases. He connects this one with a shin, right? So shval ruach shemis abek, meaning that's the ability, the willingness, the capacity to be misabek ba'afa ragle hachachamim comes from this quality of Dako Shval Ruach. Someone who has that quality will be Misabek Ba'afa Raglei Chachamim. Rav Zichron Levracha was a very, very tolerant person. But that tolerance notwithstanding, there was one thing he really, really disliked, and that was people were Baha Gaiva. And he used to say, you know, a Baha Gaiva can never... He can never learn properly because he can't learn from anyone. He can't learn from anyone. To be able to learn, whether it's Mirabosai, whether it's Mechaverai, whether it's Mitalmidai. So a person can only learn commensurate with the Midah of Daka Ushval Ruach. To the degree that a person has it, so then he makes himself into a Kli Kibbol, and he can... He can learn from others. To the degree that a person doesn't have it, then nothing penetrates. He's just left with So what is a person by himself? He has neither rabosai nor chaver nor talmidai. So what is a person without that? Wait, what's that there?